Joining us from the New York Times, Nicholas Confessori. Good afternoon.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Now, you just wrote a fantastic article. It has to do with the era of fake followers that we exist in around social media. What was it that originally sparked your interest in the generation of these fake followers?
Well, I've covered the rise of fake social media in a politics context here in the American campaign in 2016. And last year, we were trying to figure out different ways of coming at this phenomenon. And one day, we heard from some students at Columbia, which is a university here in New York, who had done an experiment in buying followers from one of the many companies that offers them. So we went on Google and found the company. It's one of the first hits on Google. And we bought some followers of our own, and that's how we got started.
What sort of benefit is it to the individual user to have so many fake followers? And we're not talking about like 10 or 20 fake followers. This can be upwards of 250,000, even 500,000.
Correct, or even 1 million fake followers. Here's how it works. First of all, if you are in the business of selling yourself, selling your influence and reach, whether in art or business, if you're a model or a musician, the people who are going to book you and pay you and buy your services or patronize your business are more and more looking at your social reach to decide how valuable you are. So the follower count has become a status symbol with a real-world value in our society.
Yeah, and I feel like it must sit in this kind of gray area, because when you think of how we use social media platforms anyway, there is a bit of fakeness, or a lot of fakeness, quote unquote, I should say, with the way we represent ourselves. So why is it such an issue then if we misrepresent how many real followers we have?
That's a good question. You know, some people might say, you know, it's not a big deal. But look, if you have a company or an influencer that is getting paid by an advertiser who thinks they have 1 million followers and they're mostly fake, someone is being defrauded. And the other problem is that these bots, these fake accounts, don't come from nowhere. The highest quality ones are made by stealing the identities of people on social media. So they would take your social media profile on Twitter or Facebook and turn it into a bot by taking your picture, your name, your bio, your personal details, your background picture, and changing them slightly, and then putting them into a bot and selling that bot hundreds of times.
Wow. So is there any indications that you could look out for to see whether that had happened to your account or even prevent it from happening?
There are some indications. We haven't figured out a way to open source it. But what we did was we bought a bunch of bots and collected more examples of bots in different ways and began to notice some patterns. We might find that the bot maker had taken all the information, but then in your handle on Twitter, taken the I and turned it into a lowercase L, for example. Or if you had an underscore in your name, they'd add a second underscore. And so what we did computationally was to reverse those changes on millions of accounts to find the originals. And that didn't give us all the stolen accounts, but it gave us about 55,000 of them in the U.S. and in many countries around the world. So there's not an easy way for you to do it. We may try and find a way to provide a tool to do that, but that's one of the problems here. It's only Twitter and Facebook and the platforms themselves that can really police this effectively.
Yeah, what response would you like to see from those platforms?
Well, it's interesting. I think that they ought to be asking themselves, how big a problem do they think this is? How big a problem is it for real users? How much do they care about the idea of there being a massive theft of social identities that they are, in a sense, allowing to happen? You know, there are a lot of people who are sort of horrified by this. There are people who are irked or annoyed by the broader problem of bots, because bots are used to shape conversations online. They're used to make unpopular opinions seem more popular and popular opinions seem less popular. They're used to make you buy things. They're used to make you think that certain people are more important and worth listening to than they actually are, because you look at the follower count and you think, wow, that person has 1 million followers, I should probably buy them or follow them.
And
so it's distorting the entire economy of ideas online.
Yeah, and when you think about that from a political context, as you mentioned you've worked in before, that changes the results of elections potentially.
You know, it's hard to say it changes the results of the elections. It certainly influences how we talk online. There's been some great research in how bots shape conversation about politics in different countries, including the U.S., how foreign governments can deploy bots to colonize hashtags, for example, on social media, flood the hashtags with propaganda so that if you happen to be looking at the hashtag, what you'll see is mostly the propaganda that a certain party or country is putting there. We saw that with Russia and the U.S. We see it domestically. There are unknown people who flood hashtags, kind of most recently the release the memo hashtag, which has to do with some intelligence disputes in the Russia probe here into the Trump administration. The release the memo hashtag became a huge hashtag, and partly it was being pushed by bots.
The magnitude of influence that this can have is incredible, because that idea, as you mentioned, you called it social identity theft. It's really like our digital reputation of sorts, but it's become such an important aspect of modern day life. What do you think it says about us as a community, as individuals, that that identity is something we prioritize so much?
You know, it shows how social media has changed what constitutes being a person and changed how you value yourself. It used to be in the old days that you had your friends. It's all that mattered. Now, you know, I have 150,000 followers on Twitter, roughly, and that makes me some kind of a person on Twitter. And people impute some value to that in different ways. There are people who envy or angry at me for having more followers than them. There are people who probably despise me for having fewer followers than them. Somehow it's become a status symbol and a marker of intrinsic worth of a person and their opinions or beliefs. And that is very strange to me.
Nicholas, it's been such a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you so much for your time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.